I'm here with Fall of Snow, who's my guest today on Is Good on KillRadio.org. And I'm going to play a track from her EP called OK. The name of this track is El Segundo. And then we're going to talk and do some live stuff. You know the drill. This is Fall of Snow on Is Good on KillRadio.org. So, as usual, my guests and I have pretty much talked about everything we need to talk about during the first song, so we'll leave you here. Thanks for tuning in to Is Good on KillRadio.org. All right, so who am I talking to at the moment?
Stephanie from Fall of Snow.
Okay.
By myself today. Obviously, that CD is produced with a bunch of different musicians helping out on the record, so I did that last October, and that was like my first effort of recording. So it's full band style.
So is Fall of Snow, is it an idea? I mean, it didn't come together as a band. We are Fall of Snow. It's Stephanie and you're AKA Fall of Snow.
Right. I've kind of switched to the like Cat Power, Bright Eyes, Badly Drawn Boy thing of, you know, one person. There may be other people on stage with me, but just sort of it's always at least me. So
when you first came up with the idea, was it just a girl and a guitar?
I played acoustic around town a little bit. After I learned how to play guitar and sort of found out I could sing a little bit and started doing it, I just played for about a year under my own name, Stephanie Casey. And then I wanted to expand the sound, so I started building other people. And I, you know, learned the hard way everything that you shouldn't do to make a band. One thing, which is I just thought, oh, I'll just find people that play all the different parts of, you know, the different instruments that I think that I need. And that doesn't work at all.
Why doesn't that work?
Just because it's such an intimate relationship, and it has to... It seems like you have to really connect on a lot of different levels, friendship, musically. It's got to be people you want to spend a whole lot of time with. There's a little bit of a honeymoon period. Like, some of the people I would find would be on, say, Craigslist or a friend of a friend or something. And so it seems like there's this honeymoon period where, yeah, all the music you're into, I'm into, and I'm all about this, and it's my number one thing to play music. And then 2 weeks or 3 months later or whatever, it's like, oh, actually, I don't know that music, and I don't like it, and this is the real deal. And it's just, you know, it's hard to find those people that fit on every single level, you know, that you can really mesh and make music. And I'm kind of doing it full force right now in the last couple of years, so it's hard to find people that can be that dedicated to sort of your sound and all the work that you're doing, I guess.
Well, why don't we jump into a live song?
Okay.
And and hear what you're doing for us here in the studio.
All right.
And then we'll talk about some of those difficulties in trying to expand your sound and relying on other people to help.
Okay.
My guest is Fall of Snow, and you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Try the looping station, see how it works.
Dark.
so much to ask you.
Uh-oh.
No, it's all good. But first, so my audience doesn't get religious, how did you do that with your voice? What do you have your microphone put through?
Assuming
that wasn't tube and throat singing.
That was actually a guitar chorus pedal, ensemble pedal. And I had it for my guitar, and I could never get it to do anything I liked. And I've seen some people use pedals on their vocals, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll try it. And then I just found a setting that I love, and now...
Is that an effect that you like to use a lot?
Yeah, I use it. That song, I use it the whole, and then sometimes I hit it in the chorus to sort of beef it up, because I really like when I record to do double vocals, so it kind of replicates that, I think.
While we were listening to the track from your EP, we were talking about a band called Belly, and I know that they used that... that effect a lot.
Oh, maybe, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like they had, like, in my memory, that vocal quality. Talk to me about some of the bands that influenced you.
Well, it's changed a lot. I was reading something with, who was it? I don't know, someone in Rolling Stone, like Tom Petty or something like that. And he said that recently he went back, or maybe it was even Paul Simon, and he went back and listened to all the music that he was listening to when he first started writing music. And he said, you know, it was so much simpler than what he does now and what he listens to now. And I've definitely found a change in, just as I've been evolving as a musician, and this is pretty new to me. I've just been performing for a couple of years and playing guitar for about 5 years. So I like more complicated music now, mm-hmm. but... before, it was really simple. And when I first started learning, all the songs that I learned just by downloading covers, internet tabs of covers of songs that I knew, just pop songs, you know, your Peter Gabriel and whatever. And all those
Peter
songs...
Peter Gabriel also likes to use that effect,
yeah,
now that I think about it.
Yeah, true. A lot of them are just the same chords over and over. Even in the chorus, it's mm-hmm. the same three or four chords for the entire song. And really, a lot of the sort of best songs or the catchiest songs, the ones that stick with you, that you sing again and again, seem to be. But I've definitely, my ear has definitely changed for what I like to listen to now. Mm-hmm. I like to hear more complicated music stuff and that kind of thing. So let's see. So that's a twofold answer. I guess in the beginning, it's sort of my original influences are, I told you I've logged millions of hours listening to Kristen Hirsch, Throwing Muses, Belly, of course, PJ Harvey, Juliana Hatfield, Leona Ness, Concrete Blonde is another really big one that I love, Depeche Mode, Bright Eyes, I love Ed Harcourt and Tom McRae. And
is there a certain quality that all or most of these bands share that just really speaks to you specifically?
They all write songy songs. They're really, all of that stuff to me is very lyric driven, and it's about what they're saying and what they're singing about, and very emotional. A lot of, just sort of a reason to be singing those words and that kind of thing. And I feel like there's a couple different kinds of music. There's some that it's more about the music and the lyrics come second for some bands, and it's totally amazing. Mm-hmm. But for me, originally, all the stuff that influenced me, again, is changing, but was the stuff that's just about, you know, real songs. Like, it's fine with a person and the guitar singing it as much as with the full band, because for me it was about what they were saying.
What made you decide that whatever it is inside you needed to express, it couldn't just be written down or painted, that you needed to pick up a guitar?
Well, I've been working in movies, and I went to film school and stuff, and I came out to LA and did all that, and that was the avenue that I had originally thought to take. I've always been a really, really passionate about music since I was a kid, and I just never even thought it was something I could do. I never tried it. I took piano lessons when I was little by force, and, you know, sort of learn this and play it back, and I hated it.
I would say about at least half of the bands that I've had on this show have started, you know, into rock music by being forced into piano lessons as children.
Right. It seemed like, you know, in LA, everybody seems to have a guitar and everyone seems to play music. So one day I had some neighbors, these guys, Charlie and Phil, that were, you know, slashies, like actors / models, whatever. And they just were sitting around all the time playing guitar. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should try to do it. And there's a lot of late nights. I worked in film editing. So there's a lot of late nights when you're sitting there just waiting for 3 hours, or on a weekend, you know, you're sitting there for 12 hours, and over the course of the day you do 4 hours of work, but you're just there until the work comes. So there's a lot of time to kill. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started learning, and I always had my guitar in my cutting room, and I would, you know, just had a chord chart and downloaded things, and then...
And so you taught yourself,
yeah, essentially? Yeah, I taught myself, yeah, and then I just started singing covers and stuff, and it turns out I could kind of sing, and then the rest is history.
Did that come as a surprise when
yes.
you first started to sing? You're like, oh, I actually can carry a tune. I have a voice.
Yeah, it was definitely a big surprise.
Yeah.
But a welcome one. You
a
know,
relief,
it's great.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's really fun. At first I was terrified of performing. I would literally, like, not be able to eat for 2 days, and I still get nervous. I'm nervous even sitting here, you know. My voice is probably shaking when I'm singing the first couple songs. But, that's gotten better and better. And this last tour that I just went on, which was my first tour going and playing for many successive days, totally addictive. That's why now I'm moving to Portland and I'm just chucking the whole movie life here and going to go fucking tour a lot.
This show is about, you know, mostly about interviewing LA bands and all the great music that can be seen. And when I came across your music a couple of months ago from, we had found a CD in the Hear Hear pile. And, and in between that time and today, you've
yes.
actually decided to leave us.
That actually happened. I sort of thought about it as I was touring, and then my decision actually just happened about a week and a half ago. So I'm just prepping my house to sell, and
wow.
I'm just going to get out of here and go do it. The touring thing was just an experience that I've never had in life, where I've gotten to go some places with, like, the movie stuff, where you go, you know, I might get to fly somewhere really cool for a couple of days, and
mm-hmm.
that's great. But I've never traveled, like, on the tour. Not only do you get the bonus of playing music and being around music all the time and other musicians, but you get to see all these towns that you would never get to go to, and you get a personal touch like you would never get, because you're usually crashing on someone's floor or
right.
meeting up with new people and hanging out with them. And so you really get the local taste and get to see what's really cool about it. And, you know, it's the cheapest kind of road trip you can take. So it's so fun, and I just want to do that all next year.
Well, why don't we jump into another live song, and we'll talk about some of the experiences you had on your recent tour.
Okay.
My guess is Fall of Snow. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. And if you want to instant message us, you can do so. The AOL instant messenger handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. Whenever
okay.
you're ready.
Cool. That last song is called Not a Word, by the way. It's on the EP. This is a new song, and it's called Hold Tight.
Stairs, there's a picture hanging there, and they're dancing, a frozen pair in the water under stairs. One more time, for the last time, we'll hold tight. One more time. In the garden, sunken grave, all the words washed away. She's not leaving, she'd rather stay. In the garden, near the graves, one more time, for the last time, we'll hold tight. One more time. Could you believe it's like another place? Soggy floorboards, each step a taste. Late at night, it seems the same, but they're all gone, and she's afraid. One more time. One more time, for the last time, da da da. One more time, one more time, we'll hold tight. One more time, the last time.
End song.
All right, before we talk about your experiences on your tour, I want to ask you about the very first time that you went out on stage as Fall of Snow and what that experience was.
Well, I had a first time as performing a Stephanie Casey acoustic on stage, and then I had a first time as Fall of Snow on stage.
And what was the major difference between the two?
Well, one I was by myself, and the other one I had people with me.
Okay.
that's a major difference.
Were they pretty much the same songs?
No, they were, well, no. I mean, some of them were the same songs, but I was still doing, when I performed by myself for the first time, it was still at least half covers, if not more like two-thirds. Mm. And I booked myself at the gig, and they let you have 25 people come in free, and everyone said, "You're doing what? And playing where?" And they came out, and it was really cool. And the gig is funny because they have that raised stage with a curtain that parts. So I was up there by myself with my guitar behind the curtain waiting for it to open, and I was like, oh, God. I was like, just pretend it's a movie and it's a fake thing, and it's all good.
And did that help?
I just sort of get through it in a daze a little bit, and, mm-hmm. That one was good.
Some people call that drinking.
Right. I actually would drink before the very, very first time I performed in front of people was just before that. I was working on Princess Diaries 2. And we had a rap party, and we made a little band from some people that were working on the movie. Like, Gary Marshall plays drums, and so he played drums, and some other people. We just filled a band together, and so I got in front of people, and I drank probably a whole bottle of wine, did nothing, drank more wine at the place. Alcohol didn't even work at that point. The nerves were, like, shooting right through it.
The adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, after you got through that, and then you put together some other artists to play with.
And we played, I think the first show, we played at Tex Lounge, and then the first real sort of show was at the alternate at the Knitting Factory. And it was fine, it was the same kind of thing, just nervous, and we threw it together. But I'm sort of a believer in jumping into the fire and figuring it out as you go, and that's how I've done everything in my life. So I'm okay to sort of learn in front of everyone. And
finished your opening song, mm-hmm. Did you get a kind of vibe from the audience? Did you feel like, okay, whew, that went off all right, I think I can do this?
Yeah, and you just keep going. It was definitely, basically all friends and family, so that makes it
so they wanted you to succeed.
Right?
Yeah.
They'll cheer no matter what. So, yeah, that was good. It was great. It was so fun, and yeah.
Okay, and then from that process, like, how many times did you play in town before you decided you needed to go around and show the rest of the country what you can do?
Well, right. Immediately after, I guess last spring, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I had a different formation of musicians. And then for various reasons, that stuff didn't work out. And I started playing with Jose, who he played on that record. And he and I have been playing until recently for the last year together. So he came in and we did the show where we had four of us and at Room 5 with violin and stuff like that. And then he and I recorded the record. I did everything at my house on that EP, and I would just lay down all my parts, and then Jose would come in and lay down. He did all the bass on the record and some guitar parts, and then we had a different drummer and all of that. And then he and I actually went out last fall. Like, we flew to New York and did a couple of dates, and I'm from Dallas, so I went down there and played, and did a couple little other out-of-towners, and then it was just ready. It just sort of seems like I couldn't do anything more in L.A. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of places here where you can get in front of a lot of new people, being a young band.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like going around, you're just dragging your friends to different gigs in the neighborhood.
And it's totally stupid, and you just kind of keep, I love all my friends for the support, and it's awesome, but when you're performing in front of your friends, and
trying to build an audience,
it's not, you also, it's not even like the best performance, because for me, performing is half of all the adrenaline and all that is in front of the new people and different responses, and you can kind of gauge what to play by sort of the mood in the room and all of that. And if it's just you and your buddies, that doesn't work as much. So
how can you tell, like, the mood of the room? I mean, because we're not talking about mosh pits,
right,
or kind
right.
of
no,
you know
no,
like
no.
how do you know when your audience is connecting with what you're doing?
Well, if I play something that's really thoughtful and more lyric driven and very simple and soft, and they're still paying attention and quiet, then you can keep doing that sort of stuff. And then, sometimes if people aren't paying as much attention, you might do one that has more like yelling in it, or mm-hmm. trying to get, the attention back. Or just if it's like a really fun and everybody's more upbeat, then might just even play the same songs differently and just do them faster or more upbeat or whatever.
Did you find that the level of reception for your music around the country was basically the same, or were there some parts where they got it and other parts where they didn't?
I've only done the Northwest so far. Well, the East Coast we did, you know, I didn't do repeat dates, but everywhere I go, there's always a handful of people. And again, that's also with the booking. I've been trying as I've been setting up this tour to find the bands first, and then we'll approach a venue in the town so that I know who I'm playing with. Because it's just hard if you go somewhere and you have, you know, like, just something totally different, Metal Madness right before you, and Uncle Joe and his, you know, nieces of banjos or whatever right after you, and like the fans just don't cross over.
And then Fall of Snow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you know, there might be one or two people from each of those groups that like the other stuff, but you know, you want everyone to be able to enjoy an evening of music, including yourself. So I've been trying to book with bands.
What did you learn on this Northwest tour, playing in all these different places, meeting all these different people? What did it convince you of about your music that, you know?
Well, I think with anyone who's making music, that if you get out there and get in front of enough people, you're going to find your audience, you know? It's in LA, there's a certain kind of scene, or in different towns, there might be a certain kind of scene that's really big right then, but there's still plenty of other people in the town that are into other music, so you just sort of have to figure out how to get to them. And
but like this tour you were saying before kind of influenced your decision to step out of LA for a while.
Right. Yeah.
What was it about that experience that made you realize that you were going to be able to express yourself more musically in a different atmosphere?
LA is really hard because of just with the parking and the driving, and everyone is so spread out that I've been playing for a couple of years, and there's no real, I haven't gotten into any kind of community with musicians where you always run into the same people, or you know, everybody really helps each other out, or if you, I don't know, I mean, there are groups I know of bands that are like that and that do that. I just haven't gotten into them, I guess. But when I went to these other towns, it just seemed like there were a street that had, like in Olympia, Washington, there's a street that has several venues that you can just walk in and out of, so people roam around. And we played a show there, and there was kind of no one in there, and I just started playing, and then next thing you know, 25 people are in there sitting
and they stayed because they were enjoying the music.
Right. And that there's no place in LA that kind of thing can happen that I've ever been to. There might be out there, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of, you know, musicians collectives around LA, but not a lot. And I think those that exist, they struggle to stick around. And I was actually talking to someone recently about this. There's a rock and roll collective called Kiss or Kill, and like they have the issue of like everybody loves it and all the musicians love it, and they play there and they hang out there and it's their home. Wherever it is that they go, they are the Kiss or Kill collective, even though it's like 20 different bands.
Right.
But the more they grow, the more at risk they are of just becoming another, you know, another venue, another gig, and losing that sense of community that you can find so easily outside of LA.
Right. Yeah, it's, I just also saw some of the most creative music that I've seen here, you know, especially as I've been learning, and I really like people who do anything with loops or just kind of other ideas besides we're a rock band or whatever, which is totally great, you know, but I mean, I just kind of want it all. And I don't feel like some of the bands, there's this band Summer at Shatter Creek that's from here, and the guy moved, and he did all these amazing loops, and he's the most amazing musician I've ever seen in L.A. I saw him a couple of times, and both times in L.A. when I saw him, there were like four people there, you know? And to me, it should have even been filled with all musicians, you know, because what he's doing was so innovative and so unique, and it was just strange to me. And when I've been out in these other places, it seems like everyone does gravitate to all different sorts of stuff, even kids, you know, 17-year-old kids and that kind of thing. And I never even see teenagers in L.A. anywhere.
Do you feel like in L.A. there's a certain egocentric attitude among musicians that, you know, fans support their favorite bands, but bands don't support their fellow musicians?
I think so. There's so much here, and it's so competitive. But I don't know. I think it's just the problem of that you don't, you know, it's just not easy to go places and hang out with people very much in this town. It's hard to even go to someone's house and find a parking spot, you know?
that's certainly true. And I don't even invite people over because of that, because they'll have to park.
I also think that LA is just more about the business of music than like the cultivation of it. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard here to, even with the musicians and finding other musicians to play with, just people are about a different thing. And it's also so expensive to live here that it's hard to find people who can really devote all their time to music, because it's almost impossible to live here without a day job just to afford rent, you know? Where if you live in a smaller town like Portland, where I'm moving, then it's you know, the housing's really like 50-75% cheaper.
There does seem to be like two classes of artists. I mean, musician, actor, whatever. Where there's the one category where essentially they're playing the lottery and their hope is that they'll win and they'll make it big and then someone will just sort of take care of them and put them on MTV and they'll last for a few years and then they'll fade away, but who cares because they made millions.
Right.
And then there are the other sort of career artists where it's like, you know what, I just want an opportunity to work on my craft and see how far I can go and just do that.
Ideally, I think you would want to combine both. I mean, that's the dream, right, is to be able to do that. And any big band, I've seen tons of interviews with bands like U2 or Bruce Springsteen that say they wouldn't even be a band in today's market because they spent the beginning of their careers and the beginning of their, you know, their first couple records just still figuring out their sound and tightening up live and, you know, figuring out exactly what they were doing. And now you're not allowed that. And so, yeah, I think that ideally you want to be able to, that's partly why I want to go away and just keep developing myself, I guess.
Do you think you'll come back?
I don't know. I've been here for a little while, and this town has gotten so crowded and expensive that it sort of seems if you're not here working in entertainment and movies that it's not worth maybe paying all the living expenses.
Right.
But who knows? Never say never. I mean, I've moved around. I lived in New York before I lived in L.A., and I grew up in Texas, so who knows where I'll end up.
Let me read you a little shout-out that came in from the internet ether world from Al Peaks. Saying, shout out from a DJ at KGNU in Colorado, who's played a couple tracks from the EP over the past few months, and looking forward to the Denver tour stop in August.
Cool. Awesome. That's so cool that he wrote. That's neat. Wow.
So why don't we play another track from this EP? Where can people get this?
You can get it on iTunes. There's links also where you can buy it from CD Baby, which comes directly from me. And it's on. You can also download it. It's on pretty much every download site at this point. So,
and then you have also your website.
I have a website, fallofsnow.com, MySpace/fallofsnow, and there's links on both of those places to get it.
What track should we play?
Let's play Lullaby.
All right. Okay, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Fall of Snow, and this is Lullaby from the OK EP.
Story, the one about lovers who is your lullaby. This is your lullaby. Let's dream. Let's dream otherwise.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. So I really like that song. It has this sort of schizophrenic sense to it. Tell me about the process of writing that song. Why would you take something, a sweet lullaby, and then put in some of that distortion? And
there's actually so many things in that song that I was thinking about when I was writing it. One is that there's, I really love two CDs. Kristen Hirsch made a CD called Murder, Misery, and then Goodnight. That's sort of ballads, very dark American ballads about murder and such. And Nick Cave also has a CD called Murder Ballads. That's also that sort of just dark. It's kind of its own genre. I don't even know what to call it. But those two records, it's sort of in that vein for me. And it's also, it was just sort of, I had two friends that were having babies right around the same time. And so I started off thinking like, oh, I'll just write a song like for those kids. And then it's like, my sort of version of, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, of childhood is you get that sort of light, lovely, whatever, but really it's really hard and kind of shitty, even the most of the time you're a kid. And all of our romanticized notions about childhood are paintings or songs or books. Right. They're all made by adults. You know?
Right. 90% of growing up is making horrible mistakes.
It's hard and you're, you know, figuring it out and your body's growing and, you know, freaking out on you and stuff. And, you know, it's a lot of bad stuff as well as that sort of innocence. So it's just all that thrown together.
Tell me about your writing process. So do a lot of your songs come back to similar themes?
Not really. That album was written when I was sort of heartbroken, so there's a lot of that in it. But I'm very politically minded and just sort of big picture kind of thing. I really like Kurt Vonnegut and Bertolt Brecht and like Voltaire and stuff like that, that really does big picture sort of step outside kinds of things. And I love, like, you know, Armageddon Days Are Here by the and Depeche Mode has, you know, like Black Celebration or Construction Time Again, like those albums that really touch on issues that are affecting us all.
what are some of the political issues that you like to touch on?
Just the general stuff, you know, in a broad sense of just mass control through politics and religion and television and celebrity and that kind of stuff. And just, you know, that we all have so many choices, it seems, and then sometimes it seems like you don't have any choices and you just have to go with things. And, you know, just the struggles that we all go through all the time, dealing with people and trying to make it in this world and, you know, just day-to-day sort of everything's great, everything's horrible, whatever.
This may be kind of a silly question, but what do you think is more important in your case? The people enjoy the music or the people, quote unquote, get the music? Because you're one of it's actually kind of rare that you can even hear what people are singing.
Right, right.
So there are words you want people to hear. You want them to listen to the words. Is it more important for them to understand what you're singing about than it is for them to even enjoy the quality of the music?
Yeah, I would rather them hear the lyrics, but it's definitely not like I'm trying to preach to them. It's more a feeling that I like to capture of a mood of when I'm in a certain feeling, of whether it's that, you know, I'm angry at what's going on in the world or I'm feeling sad or whatever it is, just capturing that moment in the song, and then someone else would interpret it their way. And there's songs that I love growing up that, you know, you sing every word, and I would even change some of them in my head because I couldn't understand them to what worked for me. And so I feel like with music or poetry or anything, there's no wrong interpretation, but it's definitely, it's just supposed to, as long as it affects you, it's working.
Are you ready to jump into a new song?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let me have a little swig of water.
So, for those of you who are listening live, if you want to listen to this again, or if you want anybody else to be able to listen to it who's not listening live, later today you can go to myspace.com/thisisgood and download the whole interview. And also check out myspace.com/fallofsnow and fallofsnow.com for more information on the artist that I'm interviewing right now, at this very moment, who's about to play for us right now.
Yes.
On Is Good on killradio.org.
Laughter in the kitchen. screams become a choir, signaling the end, and it's hard, 'cause I'm never gonna see you again. It's so hard, 'cause I'm
We lose the mic on that? I couldn't just sing for a little bit.
The sound, the song was beautiful. It came out very well. There's just a few moments in there where the unfortunately the mic that was recording the amp was cutting in and out.
Damn it, but we got to, because I don't have that recorded yet, and people are always like, Kate song.
Well,
but I'll record it for the full length.
Yeah, and I'm sure they enjoyed it. And okay, so there is a full length on
in the works. That's what I'm gonna go to Portland to do this fall. In winter, in the rain, I'm going to record a full
in the rain,
and then yes, I'm going to house up in the rain.
It's going to be a very sad album.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, and then with that, go out next, hopefully next spring and summer extensively, and just hit the whole country again and again.
So you're going to tour with your release, and that'll be your debut album, right? This is your debut EP.
Right. And I'm just going to do it. I was sort of waiting around to see if I really didn't want to record myself again, but. Time has passed, and I have so much material that I need to do, so I'm just going to do it and just, become a multi-instrumentalist and play on the record. It's going to be great.
So are you going to learn, what other instruments do you play? Or what other instruments do you want to learn to play?
I really like playing just sort of with whatever's around. The other day with an effect on my 8-track and some pedal action, I made a really cool beat just by hitting the body of my acoustic guitar, and I kind of want to explore playing things like that. And you know, I can
just
do
doing
a simple
real
beat
sound
on a
samples
drum kit. Yeah, and just sort of with what I have, just do that, and just you know, make something that's kind of unique and something that I can play mostly live by myself if I have to. Maybe some electronic drums.
Cool. What is the significance of your name? The name of
Fall
your
of
act.
Snow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good question. Let's see. It's from a Tom McRae song. He has a lyric where he says, "You wake up to a fall of snow." And I was trying to find a band name, and I really wanted something that had duality. Like, I like things that can mean this or that, depending on the context. So I used to sing that Tom McRae song at shows a lot, and a guy that was playing guitar with me said, "Oh, what about a band name, Fall of Snow?" And I was like, "Oh, that's good, because it can be a season of snow or the actual fall of snow, which is delicate yet ominous, and the fall of a thing or person named Snow." So it can have, you know, that kind of, it all has the same feeling of sort of dark and ominous a little bit. But
but I mean, definitely your music has that dark and ominous quality to it.
Exactly,
I mean, you can't
deny
it, and that's fine. I mean, that's good.
Right.
So you need a name that's sort of gentle and yet suspicious.
Right. Exactly. Gentle and suspicious. I like that.
That's
perfect.
Good.
Totally. And let me just say, because that was to me like not the best performance of Kate's song. So I'm gonna go to when I get home, and I'll put the version that I do have, the demo, and I'll put it up downloadable on MySpace. So if anyone wants to, go
okay,
down later when I get home.
That's good. So MySpace / Fall of Snow.
Yes.
And fallofsnow.com, is that just the website that you built yourself?
Yeah, that's I made it. A friend of mine designs websites, so she set it up initially for me, and then I can do all the updating. And just a little website.
Where can people see you play next?
I'm playing in LA at the Scene on, I think it's the 19th. It's the, or the 17th. It's the Thursday before I leave to go to the Southwest in August. So we're playing at the Scene there with this really, I can't wait to hear this band, Beware of Safety. That's this instrumental band.
That's the Scene in Glendale, right?
Yeah, in Glendale. So that's the next time I'll play in LA. And then I'm going to do Southwest and then I'm out of here. So come to the Scene.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll be playing my cousin Whitney. I've been sort of switching to a family-only kind of theory on the band now, so she traveled with me.
Because you can't kick people out of your family.
Right. So she traveled with me in the Northwest and got really, really familiar with all the material, and she's picked up the drums, and she's just a natural. She's taken a couple lessons,
right,
and she's doing it, just simple beats on some of the songs, so she'll play in Glendale and also on the in the Southwest, so we'll have drums.
Well, cool. Well, before we run out of time, can you do another live song for us?
Yeah, I want to play a cover that she and I have actually been playing, which is a cover that I used to do, but I stopped doing it because I stopped doing covers, but this is Damien Rice. So.
All right. My guest is Fall of Snow. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Don't hold yourself like that. You'll hurt your knees. I kissed your mouth and back. Is that all you need?
I feel like I should call an ex-girlfriend and apologize for something. It's very powerful stuff.
I love that song. And you brought it back up because my cousin loved it, and I was like, oh, I know that song, so we'll be playing it. And it's great with the drums when she goes with the drums. So come to the scene and see us.
I went to myspace.com/fallofsnow, and it is August 17th.
Okay,
good. Don't go on the 19th because you'll miss your show in Arizona.
Damn.
So we're about out of time. We'll play one more track from the EP.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah, and we look forward to more music. Let me know when the full length
okay.
is ready. Please
Absolutely.
Send it to me, and we'll play it. And also, good luck on your travels.
Thank
and
you.
Maybe you'll come back and share some music with us again
sure.
sometime. My guest has been Fall of Snow. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Do you want to pick a track from your EP? Okay.
Simple one.
Name of this track is Missing, and you can go to fallofsnow.com as well as myspace/fallofsnow to get more information on this artist. Again, just a reminder, tonight we're doing The Couch at Three Clubs, 1123 North Vine Street. It's free. There's great bands playing, Polar State, Los Olvidados, and Wonderground, as well as some guest DJs, and yours truly. So hopefully I will see you there. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. My guest is Uberzone. And again, this is Fall of Snow.
Say